Oh, sure. Welcome. Okay, it's nice to see everyone. I'm very excited to begin this new series together. And I apologize, I made 22 copies of the Mayor Makomo sheet, so please try to share with a neighbor if you didn't get one. But it's amazing to see. It's really nice to see so many people coming out. Men, women, it's really a response to Paro in this week's Parsha. And Paro says, you know, if you want to go out of Mitzrayim, so just take the great scholars. You don't need to take everyone. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, the men are going, the women are going, the children are going, the animals are going, everyone's going. Everyone wants to be involved. And Baruch Hashem, when a lot of people come together, it's a good sign. It's a good sign that the Torah is being properly appreciated. I want to dedicate this year for a Refuah Shleima for Moshe Menachem Ben Devora, continued Refuah Shleima, and also for the art site of Tzivia Yeta Bas Dov Beryl Halevi. We'll begin, since the title and the topic of the series is a little bit mysterious, I guess we'll begin in the mysterious place. We'll begin with a passage in the Zohar Chadash. Zohar Chadash tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forming man. Source number one, HaBori Yisbaruch Bara HaAdam Ubaro So B'Tzelem U'Vitzur. When man was being created, he had a form, he had an image, as we know. Ve'ichinu me'arba dvar muvdalim zem mizeh. And God created man from four different elements, each one distinguished in their own right, muvdalim zem mizeh, me'esh, me'ruach, mimayim, me'afar. That man, and really all of reality as we know it, now we're going to have to, just as a disclaimer, we're going to have to distinguish a little bit between ideas as they exist within Torah, ideas as they perhaps once existed within science and philosophy, and we're not going to try to necessarily reconcile everything with the science as we understand the body today, as we understand the emotions today, as we understand the intellect today. That's not what we're here to do. But if the Sfarim HaKadoshim, if holy sources speak of these ideas, and again, you can look in different places what the origin exactly is, but if the Zohar Chadash says that man is made up of Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim, then that's something that's worthy of exploration. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created everything, the world was made of fire, of wind, of water, of earth, and man also, so to speak, has those various elements within himself. Shenamar, the second pasuk of the Torah, Va'aretz ha'isa sohu va'vohu v'choshech al p'nei sahom v'ruach elokim rachefes al p'nei ha'mayim. Second pasuk of the Torah, Eluheim hadalit dvar maniskarim. This refers to the four things that we've just mentioned, namely, shekorin la'esh tohu, that mysterious word tohu, that nothingness, that void, that preceded the world, somehow corresponds to fire. Vizeh hayisod harishon. Uvohu vachoshech, the pasuk says, bohu, again, also some type of void, some type of desolation, and choshech corresponds to mayim and afar. And the Zohar says, how do you know that choshech corresponds to afar? How do you know that bohu corresponds to mayim? Brings psukim. And lastly, the word ruach in the pasuk, wind, spirit, corresponds to ruach. So here we have a very interesting and early source. But what's fascinating is, in a certain sense, it's telling us that the whole framework of reality as we know it is built on these four elements, Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim. That the world, as it were, man and the world, is built from fire, is built from wind, is built from earth, and is built from water. And that means that whatever it means to use these things in the right way really is the avoda of man. That's our whole life. To try to figure out, how do I use the power of fire? How do I understand the message of fire, of water, of earth? What do these things mean to us in Avodas Hashem? How do I serve Hashem by thinking about these things? The source that inspired me to put together this shir is a sefer called the Shari Kedusha from Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital, of course, is the Talmud Mufak, the great disciple of the Arizal. Much of the Kisvei Arizal, the writings of the Arizal, the greatest Mekubal of all time. Certainly, could argue that if we don't all agree to that, but certainly the Arizal, there's no one quite like the Arizal in terms of Kabbalah and the transmission of Kabbalah. But Rav Chaim Vital records for us the teachings of his Rebbe, and again he wrote this small volume called Shari Kedusha. It talks about a lot of things. It talks about how a person can move in the direction of Nevuah, how a person could actually try to become a Navi, to experience Ruach HaKodesh, to have a Kodesh Baruch Hu speak to you. But it starts by refining the body and refining our midos. He writes there very famously, probably the most famous line that people know from the Shari Kedusha, whether they realize it or not, is Rav Chaim Vital's famous question is, why does the Torah not spend so much time teaching us about character development? It certainly does through the stories, through the things that happen to the Avos and the Imos and to all the people of the Torah. But the mitzvos of the Torah, there's not that many mitzvos that specifically speak about midos. And he wonders why that is. And of course the answer already hinted to in Chazal, a phrase that we're familiar with, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. That the Torah doesn't speak about midos because it's a prerequisite to even begin to study Torah. A person has to be a person who's refined his or her midos. And therefore he writes as follows. The midos, the character of man, correspond to these four elements, Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim. He writes very beautifully in source number 2. V'nimtza ki guf ha'adam ha'notzer me'arba ha'yesodos ha'tachtonim. Man, which is made up of these four lower elements. V'nehem klulim tov v'ra. Now we're going to have to explore how fire has a positive side and a negative side. Water has a positive side and a negative side. V'chulu, etc. V'guf ha'adam notzer min ha'tov shav'arba yesodos. And the body of man is created, hopefully, from the positive side of these elements, from the Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim and Afar, to be used in a holy way. We have to understand what that means. Amnam min hara shebehem notru baguf arba maros. But the negative side of man, so to speak, the Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim, these are spiritual concepts. They are meant to help man to express himself in a way of Tov. The Ra, the negative side of this, is what was traditionally called the Arba Maros, the four biles, right? The four humors, the four vital fluids, which again, in ancient medicine, and to whatever degree it's still true or not true today, there was a belief that these various fluids of the body, as he describes here, Halavana, Hashchora, Aduma, Yeroka, white bile, right? The white fluid, and the black fluid, and the red fluid, and the yellowish-green fluid, correspond to different personality traits and behaviors. And if there's a lack of balance in these things, then the person is not going to be a healthy, emotionally stable, and properly spiritual person. Whenever one of these negative traits exerts itself over one of the positive traits, then God forbid, as a sign that something is spiritually wrong, the body is also physically going to respond to that. Illness befalls man. And if God forbid, we allow ourselves to spiral out of control, if the negative forces within, so to speak, take charge, then eventually, not only will I become sick, right, both physically and spiritually, but tamis lagufa adam, then the body in turn will die. Second paragraph. In all of the worlds, and this again is the avoda of a Jew, we're always caught in between the world of tov v'ra. That's what we're fighting for in this world. To try to rectify the chayit of Eitz Hadas. To get back to the proper balance where tov has the upper hand over ra, over negativity. So too within the soul of man. He writes where it's bolded. That man made up of these four elements corresponds, he says, Vehim arba osios shem havaya baruchu. The four letters of God's name correspond to these four elements, Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim. He says on the negative side, the number four is a very prevalent number. On the negative side, jumping down again where it's bolded, the arba avos nezikin. Bava Kama begins by describing the four major categories of damage. Again, these are physical things and spiritual things. Arba maros negayim. Four types, four primary types of tzara'as. So again, it's a question of how do I choose to balance the energy within myself? Do I learn to use it in a holy way? Or do I, God forbid, allow it to slip out of control? And again, if I lose control, and then it causes nezek, it causes damage, nega'im, it causes tzara'as, it causes, again, both physical and spiritual affliction of the body. There's a volume of Shailos and Tshuvos I have at home, called Shailos and Tshuvos Mahari Asad, Rav Yehuda Asad. Rav Yehuda Asad writes in the second volume of his Shailos and Tshuvos, he says that death comes about because of a lack of shalom of the body. When the body is not in a state of harmony, when the various, again, kochos of the nefesh, the forces of the body are not properly balanced, if I have too much eish, or if I have too much mayim, if I have too much red bile or too much yellow bile, right, if there's an imbalance in my midos, then that causes a lack of internal shalom, and that leads to misa. It's fascinating. Rav Yosef Engel was one of the great Polish Gaonim, a genius in all areas of Torah. Rav Yosef Engel wrote a very complex and deep sefer called Shivim Panim LaTorah, and in the back there's a section, Kuntris Shev D'Nachemta. Unfortunately, when Rav Yosef Engel's mother passed away, he wasn't able to make it to the funeral in time. And when he was sitting Shiva, he was meditating on many thoughts. A person's not really allowed to learn Torah when they're sitting Shiva. But afterwards, he wrote down these seven drushos, Shev D'Nachemta, these seven ma'amarim, which would hopefully comfort his disturbed soul. He was very, again, disappointed. It wasn't his fault, but he had missed his mother's funeral. He was terribly distraught by that, and he wrote about a variety of ideas in Machshava. And in the first maimer over there, he explains that when the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that Eliyahu bidalid, talks about how different malachim travel around the world. It says that Eliyahu travels bidalid. Eliyahu travels in four steps. He explains, Rabbi Yosef Engel explains very beautifully what that means is that Eliyahu Anavi is able to what? Is able to travel within these four different realms of, again, of the spirit. And it's for that reason, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, that Eliyahu becomes the malach who lives forever. Because that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda Asad is saying. When there's a lack of achdus in the body, when the four is not properly aligned, so then the body breaks down, and it leads eventually to illness and to death, God forbid. But when the body is properly aligned, then a person could even live forever. If we're attacking our midos in the right way, a person, so to speak, can overcome the curse, going back to the Gan Eden of Tovara that brought Misa to the world. He goes on in that Maimer, explains very interesting things. We don't have time for it now. He says, this is also connected to the secret, Vatamas Sara Bekiryas Arba, that Sarah passed away in a place called Kiryas Arba. Again, Sarah died not because of her shortcomings in her midos. She died for other reasons. There was a balance of the Arba within her. Again, something to think about, again, as we begin to explore this topic, that it's so important to maintain this proper spiritual and emotional equilibrium in order to literally sustain ourselves and to give ourselves life in this world. The Tanya, the Baal Tanya takes us a step further at the end of the first parak. In source number 3, the Baal Tanya describes very famously that a person has two souls. We have, as Jews, we have the higher level soul, the Nefesh Elokis. We have the godly soul, the Chelek Elokal Mimal, the spark of the divine which is inside of ourselves. That's what he writes at the beginning of the second parak. But at the end of the first parak, he says we also have an animal soul. When God turns to the world and says, Na'asa Adam, let us make man, who is God talking to? Let us make man? Who's us? So, some explain that the us is the whole world. Which means we have everything inside of ourselves. Every bit of reality is found within man. Lions and tigers and bears, right? We have everything. We have all sorts of things that need to be worked out. There's a lot of stuff going on inside of ourselves. So says the Tanya, says the Baal Tanya in source number 3, Nefesh achas mitzad haklipa v'sitra achra. The first soul of man comes, so to speak, from the dark side. There's a lot of wildness inside of man that needs to be refined. V'hi hamislaveshes bidama adam lechayos haguf. And again, this is the soul that sustains us, the same way an animal is alive, a human being is alive. Obviously, that's a very low level of existence. Kidechsiv ki nefesh habasar badamhi. That the soul of man, that the nefesh, the soul of flesh, is found within the blood. Found within the blood of man. Umimena bos kol midos ravs. And it's through this lower level of our soul that all negative character traits emerge. Me'arba yesodos ra'im shava. Corresponding to the four negative elements that make up man. And now, the Baal Tanya will take Eish, fire, Ruach, wind, Afar, earth, and Mayim, and water, and tell us what Mida, what character trait does it correspond to. He says, and this is the one we're going to explore tonight, again, this is all just by way of introduction, Ka'as v'gaiva miyasod ha'Eish. What does fire represent? Fire represents the negative traits of Ka'as, of anger, v'gaiva, and haughtiness, right, and pride. Why? Why does that correspond to fire? Why does that correspond to fire? He says, Shenegba lamala. The same way that fire raises itself up, the fire lifts itself up, so too a person who is haughty always carries himself above others. A person who is quick to get angry is because he looks down on others, so he feels, how could you do that to me? Right? A person who loses their temper is speaking down very often, speaking down from a place of elevation. Not necessarily a place that they deserve. Right? Kas v'gaiva miyasod ha'ish. Taiva sata anugim miyasod ha'mayim. Says the Baal Tanya. What does water correspond to? Water corresponds to the pursuit of pleasure. Talk about that next week. Ki ha'mayim atzmichim kol minei tanuk. Because water facilitates, it promotes, it stimulates the growth of all pleasurable things. So of course, obviously, we need water. We need water to sustain, we need water to develop, to cause things to grow, right? But again, an abundance of water can become very destructive. And we could think about what happened in the times of Noah. We understand, again, part of their Aveira was the pursuit of pleasure. Number 3, he says, what does Ruach correspond to? The hololus veleitzanos visparus vidvarim betalim yesod haruach. Wind, right? Wind corresponds to hololus, frivolity, leitzanos, right? Scoffing, leitzanos. A person who has a dismissive attitude, very much connected to speech. Hisparus, a person who's boasting. You could say that's the same as gaiva, but dafka using speech to talk in a way, right? That speaks down to people. Dvarim betalim, wind. Wind being used in the wrong way. Do I use the breath of air? The yipach ba'pav nishmas chayim, God blew a spirit of life into us. Rashi says that means He gave us the ability to speak. Do I use my wind? Do I use my wind for positive words? To encourage people to speak words of Torah and tefillah? Or do I spend my time, dvarim betalim, cracking jokes, leitzanos, hisparus, boasting, right? Talking about myself, right? So that's ruach. And last but not least, he says, Afar, earth, corresponds to Atzlus v'Atzvus. Very interesting thing to connect. A person who's what? A person who's lazy and a person who's depressed, who's sad, melancholy, is Afar, like a clump of dirt that just sits in its place, doesn't accomplish very much. Right? Like a lazy person or a sad person who doesn't feel that they have the ability to motivate themselves to do very much. So these are the things that we're trying to correct. And again, going back to the Zohar that we started with, this is what the world is about. And man is a miniature world. This is what we are about. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that when Rav Alexandri used to finish davening Shmona Esrei, every time he finished davening Shmona Esrei, Rav Alexandri used to daven the following tefillah. And this tefillah is such a beautiful tefillah because it's the tefillah that we all have, whether we daven these words or not. It's the tefillah of our neshamas. What's the tefillah? Rav Alexandri basar d'matzli amar hachi. When Rav Alexandri finished davening, he would end with the following tefillah. Ribon ha'olamim, master of the world. Galoi v'yadua lefanecha. It is well known to you, God. You could sign off on it. Sheritzoneinu lasos ritzonecha. That it's our will to do your will. You know, deep down inside, I want to be the type of person you want me to be. Umi ma'akev, and what gets in the way? What stops us from meeting our potential? Se'or shebe'isa. Literally, se'or shebe'isa, the leaven in the dough. The leaven in the dough. A Pesach mashal. Leaven in the dough. Vishibud malchios and the nations of the world. The fact that we're living in exile. That holds us back. And the leaven in the dough. What's the leaven in the dough? Says Rashi, where it's bolded. Se'or shebe'isa yetzer hara. The yetzer hara shebil vaveinu hamach mitzenu. The Yetzirah in our hearts that causes us to become chametz. Now this relationship between the Yetzirah and chametz is well known. I'm sure we've heard many a shmuz, many a shir about it on Pesach. But it also plays itself out in Halacha. There's a very famous tshuva from the Radbaz, Rabbi David ben Zimra, where he says, why are we so strict about chametz? It seems to go against all of the rules. Chametz is never batel. You can make a pot of chicken soup the size of this room and a single crumb of chametz falls in. And that's it. It's not batel b'shishim, it's not batel in 100, it's not batel in 200, it's not batel in 1,000,000. The slightest bit of chametz will not be negated against an endless amount of kosher Pesach backdrop, of soup. Right? So why is that so? The Rabbaz tries to explain it in Halacha, and he says, I'm stuck. In Halacha it doesn't make sense. The only way I can make sense of it is to say like Chazal say. And that is that chametz corresponds to the Yitzhara. And the Yitzhara is out to destroy us. And we don't negotiate with terrorists. We're not willing to negotiate with the Yetzirah. And therefore, even the slightest bit, chametz has a stringency like no other area of halacha because chametz corresponds to the Yetzirah. So I'll share with you something amazing. How do you destroy chametz? In other words, on a deeper level, how do we destroy the Yetzirah? So the Mishnah says in Pesachim, in the second parak, take a look in source number 5, the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein bir chametz el esreifa. The way to destroy the chametz is through burning. The Chachamim Omerim, and the sages say, af mefarer, you could crumble it, vizore la ruach, and scatter it in the wind, o metil yam, or throw it into the ocean. I have a sefer at home, it's called Chaye Olam Nata. Rav Nata Freind passed away in 2013. It was one of the Ziknei Yerushalayim, one of the Ziknei Eretz Yisrael. Very interesting sefer. One of the Talmidim recorded throughout the course of the day when he was giving shirim, if he would say a comment, someone's yard site, or just an interesting hara, someone wrote it down and they dated it and they put out the sefer. It's called Chaye Olam Nata. So he writes in one of the entries there, isn't it interesting? The way to destroy chametz is sreifa, burn it, eish, crumble it, turn it into dust, right? That's afar. Zorel ruach, scatter it in the wind, that's ruach, and throw it into the ocean is mayim. And he says, that's how we have to fight the Yetzirah. We have to fight using, again, all of our elements, all of the kochos that Hashem has given us, in the positive sense. To understand, what does Eish mean in a positive sense? What does Afar mean in a positive sense? The Baal HaTanya has only introduced us to the negative side so far. He told us that Eish, again, is anger and gaiva, right? And he told us that Mayim corresponds to pleasure, and how Ruach corresponds to Leitzonis and wasted words, and Atzlus and Atzos corresponds to Afar, but each one has a positive side as well. We have to fight the Yetzahara. We have to fix our lives. We have to recreate the universe that Hashem wants it to be. Tohu bo choshech al pnei sahom, v'ruach al kimra cheves al pnei hamayim, to bring Mashiach. The way to do it is to fight the Yetzirah again with all of these dimensions. We fight the Yetzirah primarily with Torah. It's interesting, the Torah is compared to Eish, the Torah is compared to Mayim. To think, and we can make a comparison to the Torah and all these things. The Gemara famously says in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Bini, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlet. It's not on the page in front of you. But you're good students. Thanks for looking inside. Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlet. You're not my students. You're my chavrusas. Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlet. Right? Hashem says, I created the Yetzahara and I created Torah as the antidote. What happened when we stood at Kabbalah Satara? There was an unbelievable unity. Going back to what we said before, when there's a unity, right, when the various parts of the body, the various parts of the soul are working in harmony, so then there's life itself, there's chiyus. But God forbid when the parts of the body start to get out of whack, when the bowels are not properly aligned, when the energy is misplaced, right, so then everything falls apart. So it's so interesting, when we stood at Kabbalah Satorah, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar, we know, Rashi famously says, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. There was a unity. Klal Yisrael were united. Within ourselves, the Jews had a certain wholesomeness at that moment. Vayichan Shom Yisrael, they stood together and they got the Torah, which is compared to Eish, which is compared to Mayim, which they would use to fight the Yetzirah, to fight against the chametz of the world, to refine and to rectify the world. I saw the Imre Noam, Rebbe of Jitka, write in his writings on Shavuos, in Oz Dalad. Again, not on the page in front of you. But he says so interestingly, he says, Vayichan Shom Yisrael, Vayichan, which Rashi says again, Vayichan, it's Vayichan in the singular, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. And again, he doesn't explain it in this way, but I think it's very clear to us. He says, Vayichan Shom Yisrael, the gematria of Vayichan Shom Yisrael is the same gematria as Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim, 955. Because again, when there's an Achdus, when the Eish and the Ruach and the Afar and the Mayim are used properly, then Klal Yisrael come together, the Torah is transmitted to the Jewish people, we live wholesome lives. But God forbid, again, when we don't have Vayichan Shom Yisrael, right? When internally there's a lack of unity, when the Eish, the Ruach, and the Afar, and the Mayim are not being used properly, right? Then Zelu Mazeh, then the Yetzahara, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlin. There's a balance of power that has to be kept in the world. Imre Noam Elser, in his writings on Parshas Toldos, points out that, again, there's so many connections to these fours, right? The four angels, Michael, Gavriel, Raphael, and Nuriel, he says, are also Gematria 955. And again, each one of these malachim corresponds to a different one. Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim. They also have the same numerical equivalent. Michael, Gavriel, Raphael, Nuriel is 955 as well. Okay, so now we have enough introduction, and it's already getting late, so let's get into tonight's topic a little bit. Again, each of these topics, we can spend many weeks, but we'll try to tackle one a week. In the Shari Kedushin, source number 6, again, back to Rav Chaim Vital. Now Rav Chaim Vital tells us, so let's try to understand tonight's topic, which is Eish, fire. The Baal HaTanya told us that Eish is anger and haughtiness, is gaiva, is pride. Says the Shari Kedusha, in source number 6, Yesod ha'Eish mimenu nimsheches ha'gaiva ha'nikras gasus ha'ruach. Gaiva is that which comes from the element of Eish. Li yoso ha'yesod ha'kal v'gavah mikulam. Because fire has an ability to rise up so naturally. Again, like the Baal HaTanya told us. Now, included within Gaiva, being haughty, the opposite of humility, is included within that is kaas, is anger. Ki mipnei ha-gaiva miskais ha-adam kishein osir mitzono. Because a person who, again, is haughty, when he doesn't get his way, or she doesn't get her way, you usually respond with kaas. And again, we feel, it's intuitive that this corresponds to Eish. We feel that, the fire burning inside of us. When a person carries himself with pride, or a person is fired up and is angry in such a way. If a person would just stop and look in the mirror once in a while, and realize that I'm less than perfect, he wouldn't be so quick to get angry. He wouldn't be so quick to think that he understands the whole situation. The other person also has an opinion. The other person also had a calculation. You wouldn't assume that you're always right and scream at others. And therefore, gaiva and kas, anger again and haughtiness, are one and the same. They have three subcategories. Number one, hakapdonis belibo. Kapdonis belibo means that a person is always makpid. A person, again, always feels a sense of that they're always right. Kilule hagaiva loya makpid belibo. Right? It's not only the way that a person responds, but it's a sense that I'm particular about things. If things don't go exactly as I want, right? Even again, if I don't respond vocally, right? But there's a sense of I'm always right. That's an expression of this gaiva and this kas. Number two, bakashas hasrara va'akavod lizgaus alabrios. A person who always wants power, a person who always wants honor, a person who's always looking for other people. What do other people think about me? That's a subcategory, again, of this gaiva and this kas. And lastly, vahasina lizulaso. And sometimes it even descends into hatred of others. Adioso gadol mimeno, to the point where a person says, again, I don't even value the other person's existence. I hate the person. That's a very strong word, hate. What's the opposite of this? What's the positive side of this? So he says at the end, he says in the second two lines from the end, source number six, the opposite of these midos, of course, has a positive side. The one that we're discussing tonight, kas and gaiva, the flip side is anava, is humility. She tachlis hashiflus umisrachik mikol mine kas habal yedei gaiva. A person who strives for the utmost levels of humility, of simplicity, which distances himself entirely from anger and haughtiness. What's very interesting is the Rambam, in his Hilchos Deos, talks about various midos that a person has to have. And the Rambam, being the great rationalist that he was, a very balanced person himself, the Rambam says, as Jews in any midah, a person has to strive to walk the middle path. When it comes to, let's say, my money, my spending. So if I'm going to be a person who spends too much, even if I spend by giving all my money to tzedakah, that's not a good idea. And if I'm very stingy, if I'm the very opposite to an extreme, that's also not good. The Rambam says you got to learn how to walk the middle path. The middle path is the proper path for those who are wise, those who are balanced. But the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, there are two midos. There are two character traits that have no place in the life of a Jew. That they have to be destroyed, uprooted entirely. We don't strive to walk the middle path with these two character traits. What are those two character traits? Writes the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, he begins in source number 7. Again, it's late, I'll just paraphrase the first part. The Rambam describes so interestingly, the same way that when a person's body is sick, the body is sometimes terribly out of whack, that something that normally would taste sweet tastes bitter, or something that tastes bitter tastes sweet. A person desires to eat things which are not edible, very strange craving sometimes. He says the same thing is true for the soul. When the soul is not healthy, it starts to desire things that should be very foreign to the soul. It has the desire for averos, it has the desire for midos rows, for bad character traits. How do you fix your body? You go to a doctor. How do you fix your soul? You go to a doctor, a spiritual doctor. You go to a person of refined midos, you go to a person who has Torah, and that person will nurse you back to health. Says the Rambam, what is the way to heal a person? If you're extreme in one way, go to the opposite extreme until eventually you find your way back to the middle. That's how you balance yourself out. But then the Rambam says, now we read where it's bolded, there are two midos, there are two deos, there are two ways of living your life that it's good to be extreme. It's good to remove it from yourself entirely. V'yesh deos she'asur, in source number 7 where it's bolded. V'yesh deos she'asur lo la'adom linog behen bebeinonis. Where we don't walk the middle path. Not at all. What are those? El yisrachik min ha'katzah ha'echad ha'katzah ha'achar. You go to the extreme. V'hu govel lev, number 1, gaiva. Jumping down to where it's bolded again. V'chein ha'ka'as mi d'rahi ad lamod. You go to the extreme when it comes to anger and when it comes to gaiva. The Rambam says it's asur lo la'adam. You know, sometimes when we talk about midos, we think like everything is extra credit. Right? We think like if I work on these things, like it's very nice, it's very desirable, it's a good thing to work on, we agree to that. But we don't necessarily look at it as mitzvos. Now what Rav Chaim Vital told us, what I mentioned, okay, we didn't read it inside, but Rav Chaim Vital told us, why are midos, why are character traits not counted as mitzvos? Because they're deeper than mitzvos. They're prerequisite to mitzvos. They're prerequisite to mitzvos. You're not even eligible. They once asked the Brisker Rav the same question. Why don't you find midos in the Torah? Why don't you find where the Torah specifically gives you a mitzvah to act in a certain way in terms of character? So the Brisker Rav said a very sharp thing. Rav Elul Soloveitchik said, because the Torah was given to human beings. And if you don't have midos, then you're not even a human being. The Torah is given to man, right? If you don't have midos, then you're like an animal. You're not refined enough. So the Torah, as a prerequisite for Torah, a person has to have good midos. But we sometimes say, midos, it's not one of the 613 mitzvos. I can't count it as one of the 613 mitzvos, right? But the truth is, again, it's deeper than that. And the truth is, again, look at the words of the Rambam, usser is the language that we use when we talk about halacha. These are not extra credit. We're not here to try to learn how to, you know, be Jews who go above the letter of the law. These are the basics of Judaism. To remove gaiva from our hearts. To remove kas from our hearts and from our souls. And the truth is, again, if you look in certain tzvarim, you find that, in fact, it is a mitzvah. These are mitzvos. These are real mitzvos and averos. These count on the books. Let's take gaiva, for example. Is not being a Baal Gaiva one of the 613 mitzvos? It's very, very interesting. You look in the writings of the Smag, the Sefer Mitzvos Gadol. He writes in Lo Sa'aseh, in Mitzvos Lo Sa'aseh, Negative Commandment 64, he says, I finished writing my 613 mitzvos, I compiled what I thought the 613 were, and then I had a dream. This is what he writes in the Sefer. I had a dream. And in my dream it was revealed to me, you forgot the main principle. 613 mitzvahs, you missed one of the main principles of the Torah. He says, he couldn't figure out what it was. So he sat down and he started to recalculate, what could it be, until he says, I realize it's the Gemara in Sotah and Daf Hei. The Gemara in Sotah and Daf Hei says, where is there a source in the Torah that it's usher to be a Baal Gaiva? The Torah says, a person will be viram, a person will elevate his heart, v'shachachtas Hashem Elokecha, and will come to forget God. The Gemara in Sotah says, where is there a source in the Torah? Minayin, where is there a source in the Torah? He says, that's a real mitzvah of the Torah. If you act haughty, you come to forget God. And he reworked his 613 mitzvahs to put in, as mitzvah, Lo Sa'aseh number 64, Negative Commandment 64, don't be haughty. It's on the books. What about ka'as? What about being angry? Look in the Mesilas Yesharim. Rav Abiner in Eretz Yisrael. And he answers Shalos and Tshuvos all day. People text him things, and they publish some of the things. So I saw someone asked him, "Is there a commandment? Is there a mitzvah or an aveira to be an angry person, or is that it's like a midah? It's extra credit." So he said, "Absolutely." He said, "It is an aveira." He said, "You can do tshuva for it." He said, "But look in the Mesilas Yesharim and Perek Yud Aleph, and you'll see over there we have scriptural psukim that indicate it's an aveira to get angry. It's an aveira. It's an aveira to be haughty. It's a davar aser," says the Rambam. And that's why we need to be so extreme about it. I was thinking, we're talking about fire. Which of the four elements can destroy a person with even the smallest amount? A little bit of water, you're not going to drown in a little bit of water. Right? A little bit of earth, you're not going to be buried alive under a little bit of earth. Yeah? A small gust of wind, it's not going to be like a tornado, it's not going to destroy your home, it's not going to threaten life and limb. Right? But a little bit of fire, a drop of fire has within it the potential to destroy everything. The amount of energy that's found in the tip of a single match, right? You can burn down the whole world. Right? It's so powerful. And therefore, kas and gaiva are the ones that we have to go to the extreme. It's mamish poison. A person who has gaiva is the antithesis of what it means to be a Torah true Jew. To have kas, to get angry, to put yourself over others, is a perversion of a yichad sham yisrael neged ahar. Again, that unity that Klal Yisrael were mekabel the Torah with. I saw once, there was a Rav who walked into a base medrash, yeshiva. You know, and yeshiva guys, listen, there's a certain gaiva that comes when a person learns Torah. A certain gaiva, and again, we could rationalize it as being a very frum thing. You know, I learn Torah, cover the Torah, you know, carry myself in a certain way. And a person, obviously, when he gets to a point, when he knows enough Torah, so then he deserves that kavod. But generally, we say, if you're not deeply connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't deserve gaiva. You don't. Hashem Malach, Hashem is the king, Ge'ut Lavesh. Ge'ut Lavesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu girds himself in pride. Unless you're also like a melech, which the Gemara says in Gittin, that a Talmudic sage is like a melech, then you have a right to a little bit of gaiva. Right? But you know, sometimes a ben yeshiva, someone comes to yeshiva and they start learning a little bit, and now all of a sudden they think they're a big shot. So this Rav once walked into a base medrash, and he saw a bachur learning. And he was new to learning. He was just getting serious. And he saw, the way he was sitting in his chair, like in front of his Gemara, you know, it was like a little bit, you know, like I own the base medrash already. Yeah. And he said his yarmulke, like yeshiva style, like a little bit off to the side. His yarmulke was like half hanging off. So the Rav walks over to him and he says, oh, I see you on Daf Zayin. So if after 7 blot of Gemara, your yarmulke is already half off, so how many pages do you take your yarmulke totally off? How many pages do you think your yarmulke totally off? Are you learning Torah for the right reason? The famous line, someone came to the Kotzker Rebbe and said, I finished I finished all of Shas. I went through all of Shas. So the Kotzker Rebbe said, that's nice. How much of Shas went through you? What did you get out of 2,711 pages of Gemara? Did it make you into a haughty person, or do you feel a sense of bittul, of self-negation to a Kaddish Baruch Hu? Right? Do I feel small in the presence of the wisdom of a Kaddish Baruch Hu? The Maharshal has a tshuva. Shlomo Luria has a very interesting tshuva, and it's really halacha again in Shulchan Aruch. But he points this out. He felt that he was criticizing the German Jews, who he felt carried themselves with a little too much pride, a little too much gaiva. So he pointed out to them, he said, I see that, I know, you know, you're very particular about covering your head, the halachos of covering one's head. So he said, but if you look in the Shulchan Aruch says that while Jews have the practice not to walk Dalet Amos with an uncovered head, but it says in one of the opening halachos of the Shulchan Aruch, Asur Leilech Bekoma Zakufa. It's Asur, it's prohibited to walk with an outstretched neck, to carry yourself, right, with gaiva. So he says, you're more particular about the minug. Again, the minug became halachic practice. It's not optional today to wear a yarmulke for a male. Right? It's accepted halachic practice. But that started off as less of a consideration in halacha than being a balgaiva. And I see you're very particular about the yarmulkes, but you carry yourself like people who are, you know, a little too proud, a little too haughty. And again, that's what the Rambam is saying here. The Rambam says you have to understand it's fire. It's mamish fire. It's dangerous. It's poisonous. It can destroy a person in a moment. Let's connect ourselves to this week's parsha, because we come to the final showdown between Paro and Moshe Rabbeinu. It's very much connected to this inyan. There's no one in the Torah we think of as expressing the midah of humility more than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is anav. He's anav me'od. He's the most humble of men. Right? Now it happens to be, I want to just point out, because it is very fascinating, the pasuk says that Moshe was the most humble of all the people in the world. That Medrash actually says, it says in Avos Terbi, not Medrash, the Raisa in Avos Terbi Nasan actually says that Moshe was the most humble in his time, but the Avos HaKadoshim were actually more humble than Moshe Rabbeinu. Which is very interesting. I mean, we have our image of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He's Anav Mikol Adam, but okay, that's what Chazal say. That the Avos, and presumably the Imos, their counterparts, right, were even more humble than Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe in his time reached the highest levels of humility. And given his position of power, his relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, his authority over Klal Yisrael, he knew who he was. Right? Humility doesn't mean thinking that you're a nobody. Moshe knew he was a great person, and yet he carried himself with such humility. The opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu, the gaiva, the kaas, is Paro. Paro, such gaiva, in the face of so many makos. Paro, you're not willing to get it, you're not willing to change. I'll show you one other interesting thing from the Imre Noam. So I quoted twice tonight already the Imre Noam. If you look in source number 8, the Imre Noam in Parshas Lech Lecha. Again, Rav Meir Horowitz, the Jikover, lived in the mid-1800s. And he says the four traits that we're introducing tonight, the four elements, the Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim, correspond to four very great Jews. Avraham is the Nefesh of the Jewish people. Yitz Yaakov is the Ruach. These are different parts of the soul. Yitzchak is the Neshama, and Moshe is Chaya. Again, there's different dimensions of the soul. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya. Okay, for another time. Maybe a nice series, maybe the five parts of the soul. Maybe one day we'll get there. So he says, in the second little paragraph, Avraham, we find in the Navi Yeshaya that Avraham is connected. A pasuk relates Avraham to Ofar. Yaakov is known for his speech. Hakol kol Yaakov. Yaakov is Ruach. Yitzchak, when they come back and they dig those wells and they find water, they say, Matzanu Mayim, so Yitzchak is water. What's Moshe Rabbeinu? Tonight we're talking about Eish. And we learned that Eish corresponds to humility. The positive side of Eish, said Rav Chaim Vital, is humility. And therefore, isn't it interesting, says the Imre Noam, Muva Moshe Metzino, Vayera Malach Hashem Elav Belabat Eish. That the Malach appears to Moshe in fire. And the Jikover goes on and says, no one else saw Hashem in fire the way that Moshe saw Hashem in fire. V'ad Moshe lo matzinu kazos, li'yisraos ela avos mitoch ha'esh. That Hashem would display Himself in fire, as if to say, this is your midah, Moshe Rabbeinu. Fire, right? Fire in the positive sense, which again corresponds to humility. We have to. It's hard to explain why that is, and I'm not sure I have a good answer to that. So we could all think about that together, right? I mean, intuitively, like we said before, intuitively we understand why fire in the negative sense is gaiva, is kas. But how is fire humility on the positive side? But again, we have a very interesting connection here. Because the Imre Noam is telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu corresponds to fire, Hashem appears to Moshe in fire, and Moshe is the one, again, who corresponds to that midah, who, better than anyone else perhaps, embodies the trait of humility. And he ends with a little gematria, a little remez. He says, Eish lahat, a flaming fire, is gematria Moshe. Okay. But again, you think about Paro versus Moshe. You think about again, the person who carries himself with humility, a person who always, his whole life, he saw himself as a Shliach Hashem, versus Paro says, Mi Hashem? Asher Eshma Bekol. Who is this Hashem? Who is this Hashem that you speak of? The Gaiva and the Kas of Paro. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov writes in Likutei Moharan, in Torah Nun Zayin, in the 57th piece, again, not on the page in front of you, he says that anger is rooted in one's liver. Anger is rooted in one's liver. And he goes on to explain what that means. But I'll just share with you something very interesting. In Paro, we see about Paro, right, that Paro's heart keeps hardening his heart. In this week's Parsha, Hashem says, Ani echbadeti yaslibo, I hardened Paro's heart. There's a Chazal that says about Paro, on the words, Kaved Lev Paro, that Paro hardened his heart. Say Chazal, say the Rishonim, it's an early Midrashic source. Kaved Lev Paro, Hashem took Paro's heart and made it into a Kaved. God took Paro's heart and made it into a Kaved. Kaved is the liver. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu transformed Paro into a liver. What does that mean? His heart became his liver? What does that mean? But we understand based on what Rabbi Nachman of Breslov just told us. Rabbi Nachman says that what a person who gets angry is a person who's operating from his liver. Kaved Lev Paro. Ki ani echbadeti yaslibo. Right? The sensitive heart that a person's supposed to have. Paro is all liver. He's all anger. He's filled with gaiva. The anger, the stupidity of anger, the foolishness of anger. Go back to last week's parsha. Famous idea from the Stipler Gaon. The Stipler explained in his writings, the Birchas Peretz. He says, just go back to that famous medrash that a frog came out of the water and they were hitting the frog and it was producing more frogs. So let me ask you, if you see that every time you hit the frog it's producing more frogs, so why don't you stop? You're making the makkah worse, according to the simple, explanation of the medrash. The Stipler Gaon says, look how foolish a person can become in one's anger. Right? Where a person is hitting and a person is in their gaiva, that you want it to be differently. Who is this God? Me Hashem, Hashem, I don't believe in this God. And look how foolish we become. Look how poorly we invest, right? When we get angry and we allow ourselves to lose ourselves. The Arizal says that when a person gets angry, your neshama literally flies out of your body. You disconnect from your neshama. When a person gets angry, you're not human anymore. You undermine again what it means to be a Jew. I brought along the Sefer, we only have 2 minutes left, the Chidush Mudam Marv in a few minutes. I brought along the Sefer Chidushei HaLev. Chidushei HaLev is Rav Henoch Leibowitz, that's all, Rosh Yeshiva of the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva. And he writes at the beginning of this week's Parsha, our topic, Bo El Paro, he quotes Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai says, Bo El Paro, go to Paro. Rabbeinu Bachai says that every time that Paro realized he was in trouble, it says that Moshe had to enter into the Heichal of Paro because Paro was constantly going into his palace. He was Nichnas beHeichalo, v'haya Misgad, the Lashon of Rabbeinu Bachaya, is that he was Misgad beHeichalo. He was Misgad beHeichalo. He acted haughty in his palace. Explains the Chidushei HaLev, that sometimes a person becomes haughty based on our possessions. Right? Paro realizes he's losing, but his whole Mahus is Gaiva. So he says, but I live in a big palace, right? He goes on, he says, sometimes a person's clothing, the way that we dress, causes us to be gaiva, to act with gaiva. But again, it's foolishness. It causes a person to reject reality. And Paro, every time, he goes on and he explains, if not for the fact that Paro had this big palace, if Paro didn't allow himself to have gaiva, maybe he would have gotten it earlier. Maybe he could have salvaged Mitzrayim. Maybe he didn't have to wait till everything was lost. But again, this is the danger of gaiva. Where a person has to bow up, have to get into power because power's locked himself up. He's so caught up in himself that he's not able to see what's happening to his world, that his whole reality around him is crumbling. So I want to end with, again, somewhat of a tefillah. It's always good to end somewhat of a tefillah. But I want to couch the tefillah in the words of the famous words of the Ramban in his Igaras HaRamban. The famous letter that the Ramban wrote to his son in the Igaras HaRamban. And the Ramban writes in the final source, Tis naik tamid ledaber kol devarecha benachas. And it sums up everything we learned tonight. Learn to be a type of person who has humility and speaks gently to others. L'chol adam u'l'chol eis, at all times to all people. U'vizeti natzal merakas. If you speak gently, if you train yourself to speak in a gentle voice, you won't get angry. You remind yourself that other people matter also. That I'm not the center of the universe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Shehimida ra lahachti b'nei adam. Kaas destroys people. It causes people to sin. Anger. It's a terrible trait. He quotes the Gemara in the Nedarim, kol hakoes, anyone who gets angry, kol mine gehenim sholtim bo. What's our picture of gehenim? And it's not just a falsification. It's not something that, you know, that we picked up from the cultures around us, right? The notion of a gehenim shel eish, a person who gets angry, all types of gehenim get the better of him. He loses his neshama. He's disconnected from everything spiritual. He undermines what it means to be a Jew. Kol min gehenim shel tempo. As the pasuk says in Koheles, va'aser kas milibecha, remove the anger from your lave. Again, Paro lost his lave and became a kaveh, a liver, which again is identified with anger. V'ha'aver ra mibsarecha. If you remove the anger from your heart, you'll remove all the evil from your flesh. It says the Gemara, v'ein ra el gehenim. Ra is a reference to gehenim. As the pasuk says, v'gam rasha liyom ra'a. That the rasha has to face, the rasha has to look forward, unfortunately, to face that day of ra, when he has to go into that gehenim shel eish because of his avelos. Look how kas disconnects us from our soul. Brings us to so much anger. Brings us to so much sin. I'll add my own little gematria tonight. Vaser kas milibecha. This pasuk, vaser kas milibecha. What does the Gemara say? A person who gets angry is going to have to face ra. He's going to have to deal with the ra. He's going to have to go to Gehenim. And therefore, kol hakoyes, kol min Gehenim sholtim bo. Don't be an angry person. You'll be able to avoid all ra, all negativity, all evil. David Melech says, in the very famous kapitel, Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem is with me. Lo ira ra. Lo ira ra. I don't have to fear ra. A person who removes anger from his heart, lo ira ra. The gematria of lo ira ra is the same gematria as vahaser kas milibecha. Because if you remove the anger from your heart, lo ira ra. You're not going to go to Gehenim. You're not going to make those bad choices that destroy us. You're not going to keep hitting the frog, right, in a foolish way that's going to destroy your country. You're not going to keep fighting against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, declaring, who is this God? Power only knows himself. Becoming a Baal Gaiva by turning into his palace. The Rambam says, a person who acts with anger, a person who acts with Gaiva, ki'ilu oved avodah zar. Very interesting question. Where does the Rambam get that from? We don't have a Gemara like that. Kol hakoes ki'ilu avodah zar. A person who gets angry, it's like he worships avodah zar. The Zohar says such a thing. Some people say, did the Rambam learn Zohar? Did the Rambam know about Kabbalah? Okay, it's a different topic for another time. But avodah zar, we know. Avodah zar, we know from Pirkei Avos, delays the geula. So I saw on a sefer, avodah zar delays the geula. It doesn't only mean if you bow down to sticks and stones. If you have the avodah zara of kas, if you have the avodah zara of gaiva, it delays the geula. It stops us from getting to where we need to be. The Rav Shitzer Rebbe said, Rav Zatali Rav Shitzer said, that imagine if Boaz, the stately person that he was, the noble person that he was, would have looked at the humble Rus and said, what are you doing in my field? Who are you? What are you doing lying down by my feet on the threshing floor? Imagine if he got angry at her. Imagine, says the Rav Shitzer, if he acted with gaiva towards her. If he would have said, who are you? What do you want from me? And yet instead, he showed generosity to her. He showed a gentleness of his spirit to her. And because of Boaz and Rus, we have David HaMelech, we have Mashiach, we have Geula. So Amir Tashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. Again, this is the first of many things we need to work on. It's a lot of food for thought. We have to just, we can't just hear these shiurim and nice ideas. We have to really take it, you know, for the week and, so to speak, make it our avodah for the week. But Amir Tashem, we should be zochet to conquer these traits entirely, like the Rambam said. Min ha-kotze el ha-kotze. No place for gaiva, no place for kas. Realize these are real averos, they're on the books. Osir leilich bekom as a kufa, shochan arach. Right? The smag counts it as a losasa. The isser of being haughty and forgetting about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amir Tashem, if we can work on these things, that we can remove this avodah zar for our midst, and then Amir Tashem, we will be zochet to see the geula shlema, v'mehira b'yameinu. Amen.